and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast, where we discuss all things money. Microcap stocks have caught the fancy of mutual fund houses. The value of microcap stocks in all the mutual fund schemes has risen from 45,500 crore in September last year to over rupees 60,000 crore currently. Even fund houses are looking to bet on this rally. In June, Motilal Oswal Mutual Fund launched India's first passive scheme, which offers exposure to microcap stocks. Now, Bandhan Mutual Fund is also looking to launch India's first active scheme that invests in microcap stocks. Investing in microcap stocks can offer potential rewards, but it also comes with several risks that investors should be aware of. Money Control spoke to Nirav Karkera, head of research at FISDM, about what microcap valuations are telling us, are fund houses taking on extra risk while venturing deep into the market caps, and how funds can manage the risks in microcap funds. Let's listen in.
Hi Nirav, welcome to Simply Save podcast.
Hi Abhinav, such a pleasure.
We'll begin with what microcaps are. So SEBI defines large cap stocks as top 100 companies by market cap. Then the 150 stocks are mid caps and the rest of the companies are small caps. So what is the definition of microcap stocks then?
So Abhinav, like you rightly said, SEBI has clearly specified a distinct identification for large caps, mid caps and small caps, but there is no such distinct identifier for micro caps. However, among industry participants and practitioners, it is a well understood fact that we often refer to micro caps as those that go beyond the Nifty 500 pack, right? So the top 100 are large caps, the next 150 are mid caps, and the next 250 are small caps, and anything beyond this universe is a micro cap. So when I talk about anything beyond Nifty 500, we are essentially talking about stocks that have a market cap much lower than the stock ranking at the bottom of the Nifty 500 by market cap. So that universe is known as micro caps. Generally, this is a pretty wide universe. It could go up to almost 4,500 odd stocks. However, mostly when we refer to microcap, we are referring to really the high quality microcaps, at least relatively much better than most other. And the universe here, in common parlance, is restricted to 250 stocks beyond the top 500 stocks. So while any stock beyond it could also be referred to as microcaps, but most of the conversations that happen around microcaps, it sticks to the 250 stocks beyond Nifty 500, and it also has to do with the microcap 250 index being the gauge for microcaps in India.
Right. So is that the classification that mutual funds use, or there's some other definition or classification that you use?
So there are limited funds dedicated to microcaps. If I'm not wrong, as yet, there is only one passive fund dedicated to microcaps, and probably another one that has been filed, actively managed fund in the microcap segment. So, that is what we are sticking to as of now, right? So for most other flexicap mandates, the mandates only seek to optimize exposure towards large, mid and small caps. So, most micro caps are covered under the ambit of small caps for most practical purposes. But for micro cap specific purposes, that is the definition so far, at least when we talk about the, passive proposition that's out there right now.
Right. Coming to opportunities, what makes micro caps attractive to investors? What kind of opportunities are available in this market cap?
Microcaps as a segment, or especially, companies beyond Nifty 500 are quite the mixed bag, right? So it has some fantastic opportunities in terms of value creation. And at the same time, it has certain value traps. It may seem like an opportunity at the moment, but, given certain challenges that are pretty characteristic of microcap stocks, it may not turn out to be the best one. So let's focus on the first part where we talk about opportunities in the segment. The biggest opportunity, I believe, in the segment is the fact that most of these companies are under-researched at the moment. They are not really covered by most analysts, most investment/fund managers at the moment. However, there are tremendous number of opportunities available across this segment. Most such opportunities refer to businesses that are operating really well in their particular line of work. They have relatively very healthy cash flows, very healthy P&Ls, and also are pretty sustainable. But just because most analyst coverage hasn't been able to reach this far or deep end of the market, most of them remain under researched and don't really get the due attention in the spotlight. So for the ones who are willing to go the extra mile, do the research, and identify really sound businesses, the microcap segment offers tremendous opportunities in terms of upside. Sooner than later, most other market participants will definitely catch up and start covering this side of the market as well. It's only a matter of time, more than anything else. So this head start is the bigger opportunity. The fact that it is under research is the bigger opportunity, and the fact that many such companies operating in sunrise segments are mostly a part of the microcap universe, because they could be operating in sectors, in segments, or in a place in a value chain which is very nascent at this point in time, but has the potential to grow to be really big and critical at an overall level, right? So even such fledgling companies operating in nascent and environments, currently nascent environments, stand to offer tremendous opportunity to investors in the segment.
So coming to performance, Nirav, small caps, which include microcap stocks, have had a solid run over the last 15 to 18 months and have outperformed other segments by a huge margin. So what are the valuations telling us about this pack?
Yeah, so, definitely small caps have been outperforming most other market cap peers. And, if you were to call out micro caps separately, especially in the last 12 to 18 months, it definitely, puts up a stellar show. At the same time, if you were to compare the valuations of, let's say, the small cap and micro cap segments with most other market cap segments, it may tend to look overvalued at the moment. And, this could be due to a couple of reasons, and many attributed to euphoria. However, one must understand that, while at a large cap level, it could be all right to look at the trailing, conventional ratios that are used for, gauging valuations. It may not be as applicable to, small and micro caps very, very specifically, right? So while looking at micro caps, if you look at the numbers in isolation and you compare it with other market cap peers, it may look pretty rich. You compare it with its own time series, it will look slightly on the brink of being overvalued or richly valued at the moment. However, at the end of the day, when you're talking about the micro cap pack, we are just talking about the micro cap 250. And even within the micro cap 250, it's important to understand the weightages of the constituents within it. In fact, if you were to look at it, you'll realize that in the micro cap 250 pack, almost a third of the weight goes to two sectors, that is capital goods and financial services. Both of these sectors have overall been in the limelight and have been gaining a lot of investor interest over the past year and a half, right? So by virtue of these sectors being in the limelight, and these sectors having one of the most promising companies and most favored by investor companies over the past year or so, the valuations of the entire index may look like it has been might reflect some euphoria. However, it's not necessary that such a run up in valuation be construed as euphoria. So this is an important perspective to take into account. So having said that, I'd say that within the microcap space, there are many companies that are where the value proposition and the growth prospects are fully priced in and aggressively priced in. The valuations are definitely slightly frothy, but the statement would not hold true and would not be applicable across the board and across all microcaps. We still believe that there are a lot many opportunities available for value creation in the microcap space, especially even from a valuation standpoint.
Right. So the mortality rate in microcap company space is very high. So apart from this, what are the factors that put microcap stocks in high risk territory?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously survival is very low, as you rightly said. And, you know, it is due to a couple of reasons, right? So these companies have, you know, very small, relatively very small market caps. Their balance sheets are relatively, you know, weaker than their, you know, larger and mid cap and small cap counterparts, right? So their ability to weather you know, black swan events and macroeconomic headwinds is pretty limited. So, you know, in during times of adversity, these companies are really tested to the end of their wits. They're put to test, and not many are able to, you know, survive these storms that keep coming every now and then, or you know, otherwise known as market cycles slash business cycles, or it could even be economic cycles. So this vulnerability is one of the bigger risks. Second, you know, from an investor standpoint, limited availability of information of these stocks, you know, again, circling back to the primary point that was made around limited analyst coverage, could, you know, lead to decision-making basis inadequate information. One would really need to roll up their sleeves and, you know, get to on-ground research, which, by the way, is not really very straightforward or as simple as it sounds to make such decisions. So in absence of such publicly available information and organized information, the risk of making decisions based inadequate or half or you know, half baked information also is one of the larger risks that an investor in the microcap segment faces.
We have discussed that microcaps have performed larger caps or the other caps in the recent times by a big margin. What can you tell us about the corrections or drawdowns in this space?
So microcaps have, you know, for the longest period, if you were to just look at data in isolation, you'll realize that microcaps have, you know, over longer periods outperformed most of the other market cap peers. But one thing that is also very distinct to microcaps is the drawdowns, which are really, really steep. So, you know, these microcap stocks operate in a pretty wide range of volatility. And, you know, while they, you know, they offer immense upside during a positive cycle, during the negative cycle, the drawdowns are very steep. And, you know, the correction that happens in stock prices are much steeper than, you know, one would be used to seeing in other market caps. Or, and at the same time, this is the very reason why it, you know, it is also called as the market cap that's not made for the faint-hearted. So the drawdowns are very steep and the volatility band is so wide that even on an ongoing basis, you know, for a less seasoned investor or, you know, a new investor into the segment, it may be slightly, you know, uncomfortable at the start, and the amount of discomfort may range across a spectrum to the, you know, towards the other extreme end being nerve-wracking to many, you know, considering the heightened volatility and, you know, drawdowns during a negative cycle.
Right, right. So coming to the mutual fund side, only 4% of the mutual fund assets are invested beyond the top 500 companies. Why mutual funds didn't launch schemes on microcap stocks earlier, and why there is a rush now?
Yeah, so, you know, the, like you rightly said, you know, it is under-owned, the segment is under-owned by mutual funds right now. And this also has to do with the, you know, premise that we addressed at the start of the conversation, where we spoke about, you know, how there is very limited analyst coverage. And, you know, while mutual fund houses are pretty well-equipped and, you know, stacked with all the knowledge, infrastructure, resources, and analysts required, there's a whole lot more required additionally to explore the microcap space. Now, so far, you know, mutual funds have been able to explore some really good bets in the microcap segment, and that has resulted in the 4% ownership that you have been talking about. But, you know, at the same time, you know, for the longest period in time, there was a lot of value that was yet to be unlocked in the large cap, mid cap, and small cap segments. In fact, it is only a matter of time and maturity that we are seeing today that the large cap universe is also becoming fully explored to a great extent, and hence you'll see conversations happening around actively managed funds versus passive funds in the large cap segment. How there's a constant both of these are in a constant tussle wherein passive funds have been outperforming large cap funds for a fair amount of period now, and as value is being recognized and derived out of the mid and small cap segments, there are now limited opportunities that are available in both of these segments where most mutual funds are willing to double down. So it is reaching a price where the opportunity may not seem as good as it was before. This obviously is in the light and context of the valuations. So mutual funds are now willing to venture deeper and farther into the microcap segment in the quest to hunt for more valuable bets, even though it means there's a lot of there's incremental analytical effort that needs to be undertaken. But mutual funds in the quest for performance are willing to take up that workload and identify such opportunities within the microcap segment as well. One good case in point to refer would be how many mutual funds have stopped or limited inflows into the small cap category, and the oft-cited reason being that there are limited opportunities available at the price that they'd like at the moment. So at such a point in time where there are limited opportunities in the small cap segment and investment flows are only growing by the month and quarter over quarter, you look at the SIP and net inflow numbers, it is growing at a quite robust pace. So in a quest to deploy all of this fresh investments, it is almost necessary that the investable universe expands, and this expansion by structure will warrant a deeper dive into the farther end of the market cap, that is into microcaps.
So you mentioned that mutual funds are willing to take extra risk for higher returns. They're going deeper into the microcap zone. What data shows that mutual fund investments in microcap stocks have risen 32% over the past 1 year? This is higher than overall growth of equity assets. So do you think funds are taking extra risk or putting their investments at much higher risk for greater returns?
So I would not equate it to taking higher risk. I would say they are venturing into waters that were less charted or uncharted at this point in time. But the risk comes from not knowing what one's doing. So on that side of the conversation, I believe mutual funds have the analytical and the research capabilities and knowledge infrastructure required to take some very good investment calls in this segment. So while the volatility could be higher in the segment, it's not necessary that just because it's a microcap stock, the risk is going to be much higher than any mid or small counterpart. So it's more about mutual funds going out of their comfort zone in a quest to deliver higher returns. And the exposure that you mentioned, I feel it is correct. You look at the exposure of microcaps vis-a-vis the past couple of years, it has quite gone up, and this can be attributed to two facts. One, mutual funds actually venturing out and making some good investments in the space. That's one. And second, it could also be attributed to the recent run-up in the prices of such microcap bets that were taken and that are still held in the portfolio. So an increased exposure is not just a factor of fresh deployment, but also capital appreciation. So a combination of these two have increased and resulted in a higher a proportion of mutual fund exposure to microcap stocks. However, I wouldn't go as far as saying that the risk is unwarranted. With the correct approach and the right resources and thorough analytical approach if one is able to deliver performance and manage risk also at the same time, I feel it is a pretty decent proposition to investors, as long as it is true to label, sticking to the mandate, and the investor is well aware about this approach.
So as you earlier mentioned, that there is only one microcap fund as of now, and that is a passive fund. One reason behind the passive fund launching a passive fund could be the lack of liquidity in this space. So do you think an active fund can manage the liquidity issues in the microcap space?
So like you rightly pointed out, Abhinav, the one challenge in the segment, I had, missed mentioning earlier is the liquidity challenge in the segment, right? This is one of the risks that one must be cognizant about. So the liquidity in the segment is pretty low, relatively low, and the risk of higher impact cost in the segment is pretty much enhanced and pronounced here in this case. So a passive fund definitely circumvents most of these challenges. And if one were to expect the way an active fund would try and go about its business in such a liquidity constrained environment, it almost seems that the almost immediate top of the mind way to work around this would be to operate with a very long tailed fund that is diversify investments across many companies more than average. You have a very long tail that implies that there is very less allocation to each company, so that not much of your investments are stuck in a company, such that in a case of illiquidity, one a fund manager is unable to redeem from a particular stock. But so on the top of the mind, one can expect actively managed funds in the category to resort to having long tailed portfolio, a very diversified portfolio, arguably over diversified, probably for some cases wherein there's very limited and small negligible allocations maintained across a variety of such companies. Now, the upside to it is you manage liquidity really well and somehow are able to participate in the upside of the growth story offered by such microcap stocks. The downside is that averages generally result in averages, and diversification or long tailed portfolios or over diversification has rarely resulted in as effective performance as could have been achieved with a much more focused portfolio. So such dilution could be the downside.
So my last question is, for a retail investor, would it be wise to get into microcap funds?
Yeah, so a retail investor, obviously, if a retail investor has a long investment horizon, and when I talk about long, an investor mentally should be ready to stay invested for at least above 7 to 10 years approximately as a starting point. Ideally, the investor should be investing for a much longer period and should be trying to achieve wealth creation over a longer period in time, and should have the ability to withstand volatility. Now, if these conditions are met, and depending on how well these conditions are met, an investor can allocate to microcap funds. Now, depending on how well these conditions are met, an investor, a retail investor, can calibrate the percentage exposure to such microcap funds. So yeah, definitely, there's no need for a retail investor to shy away from microcaps, but there is definitely need to be calculated about the exposure and allocation to microcap funds.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.